Thanks for joining us now on KVCR for KVC Arts, Arts Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, welcoming Beth Wheat from the Big Bear Theater Project. Beth, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me here. Great to meet you.
Oh, it's and you as well. I love to meet listeners when they come in, and especially theater geeks. It's a term I use lovingly. I'm a recovering theater geek. And I'm always excited to be able to talk about theater and share events and performances. I'd like to hear about the Big Bear Theater Project and, of course, the last show of the season.
Yes.
One of the best ones for the season. And we'll let that hang suspensefully until we get there.
Ooh.
Like Three Ghosts in the Night.
Ooh, imagine.
Oh, four, actually. I just
That's
failed
right.
that trivia question.
Good for you.
Check me in. Okay, but first, Beth, a bit about you, your background in the world of theater and art. Let's start with, when did you get the bug, whether college, high school, or even grade school?
Oh, my gosh. And so I proudly embrace the moniker of theater geek, and
nice.
I think most of us do. It's
yep.
pretty descriptive. I grew up in and around theater. My mother was a professional musician, and she was a jazz player, actually. In Orange County. That was how she earned most of her living. But she also would do scores for little theaters who were producing musicals. So if the star didn't sing in the key that it was written in, she could transpose all the music for the orchestra. And I can remember her with all of the papers spread out on the table doing that. But the first play I remember, I think I was 8 years old, and she took me to see a production of Guys and Dolls.
Mm.
And I didn't really pay attention to the play. I just thought, I want to do that. That's me. I need to be right there.
The spectacle, the fact there's all these people coming to see these people, there's lights, there's sound. What do you remember?
It was the magic of telling a story in that way, and the expression and the dance moves and the vocals. It was all of it, but it had nothing to do with the audience. I was there. I was on that stage with those people. It was amazing and indelible in my memory.
Yeah. Did you stay with it then, maybe, I mean, at the age of eight? It's actually, no, that's really prime age for children's roles, say, in the community theater setting or something like that. I started, I mean, I came in as a child, but then very, very soon, I was too old for the children's roles and too young for even the teen roles. Well, that's when I became a techie at that point, so.
And that's great, too. I did performing in school, so I never worked in the theater as a child, and my intention was to be a theater major, which I was for a time. But my life took a different path. I was struggling, and I didn't have the courage to put so much on the line to pursue a career, unfortunately. So I spent many years away from the theater other than as a spectator until we moved to Big Bear Lake, and I had two small children, and there was a beautiful theater there, which a lot of people don't know about. You come into town, and it's in the City Hall complex, and it's an extraordinary theater that you wouldn't think would be there. I didn't know it was there, but I saw that there was a production of A Mall in the Night Visitor going into the Christmas season, starring Leonard Graves, who was a Peabody Award winner, and he was Yul Brynner's understudy on The King and I on Broadway for decades.
Oh.
So I showed up to see this play, and the first thing was, it's a magnificent theater. It's 398 seats. It has a huge 40-foot revolving stage, one of the largest in the country, and the production was incredible. The boy was played by someone whose name you might remember. His name is Taryn Killam.
Oh, wow.
And that was his first ever stage role. Taryn grew up in Big Bear and doing theater with the high school there. But it was magnificent. So I thought, as soon as my little guys are big enough to be involved, we're going to participate in this theater. There was a community theater group that was very strong at the time. The woman who led it, Sarge Rachels, was a Hollywood television producer. Our set and lighting designer was a retired professor from UCLA who gave her gifts and talents to this group. And so my children literally grew up on stage, and we did all kinds of things. You know, I was Sarah Brown, and I was in Oklahoma. I was Lori, all of those fun roles that I got to play in this environment.
Sweet.
Yes. And so, you know, I did have education in theater from the beginning of my college experiences, and then went away and lived a different life, and now I've come back. And it was the aspiration when the community theater started to just dissipate, as things do when people move and change. We wanted to start a professional theater in Big Bear. We often thought, why aren't we something like Ashland, Oregon, or Laguna Beach, or Ojai, where these are beautiful resort towns that are renowned for the beauty that surrounds them, but they also have great theaters, and they have great art galleries and great restaurants.
That's right.
So we wanted to be a part of that transformation and renaissance in Big Bear, and it seems very much to be accelerating. So that's how we got to where we are today.
You mentioned going in and making sure that your kids were a part of this growing up, and that's really wonderful. And that's in essence how any parent, you know, whether or not they had any kind of theater past, if they're bringing their kids to the rehearsals, pretty soon they become a theater mom or theater dad, and it's not long before they're on the board. And then my mom was president of the board numerous times. And so how did you end up as managing director? How did that take place?
Yes. So for Big Bear Theater Project, the community theater group was called the Community Arts Theater Society, or CATS, and it's a huge shout out to them because it was a volunteer organization with a lot of dedicated people that made a huge difference in the lives of lots of children there. But when that started to taper off, a few of us, well, all of us had been on stage with the Community Arts Theater, saw that potential. We started our own nonprofit in 2011, and that's how we got started. So we wanted to fill the void, make sure that there was local theater being produced in Big Bear, and we wanted to give it a little bit of a different twist. The demographics of the community had shifted such that we didn't have as many young families and as many volunteers as it would take to run an organization exactly like that one. And we also wanted to be part of building an arts economy in Big Bear so that we could hire actors local or from elsewhere, hire stage managers, have professional set designers, that kind of thing, so that we're really not only creating great theater, but we're creating jobs and we're contributing to the economy.
So this theater, the Big Bear Theater Project, is it fully staffed? What type of theater is this as far as outfitting it?
We are a nonprofit theater, which is great because your donations are tax deductible.
Yep, that's right.
But we have a small standing crew of board officers that are with the organization most of the time. And then we do bring in all of the crew that we need to mount the productions. Okay. Two of us on the board are also theatrical directors. I myself am a theatrical director, so I'm directing A Ghost Story of Christmas, which is an adaptation that I created that's very unique and fun. And then we'll be doing some plays coming up this coming year. They have good name recognition. They're plays that everyone would know what they were about, and hopefully they'll come and see them. Sometimes we bring in directors from elsewhere. We do hire equity stage managers, and we hire equity actors, and then we're allowed to fill in with some non-equity people according to equity rules. So it's a mixed bag.
Yes. Doing theater, and that's one of the things, you just at some point, I'm going to have my equity card, or I'm going to be part of the SAG, or whatever union you're going toward. And then occasionally that can be limiting because you're possibly not allowed to work on certain things. So it's really wonderful that you have this mix. Now, early on, when the Big Bear Theater Project itself began, was it at that point really kind of a case of this was an umbrella under which to perform a show or two, and then it became something with a full and varied season? Or did you just get out of the gate running with a full season right away?
We did start a little smaller than we are now, so we would do two or three productions a year. Sometimes now we'll do five. This year, I think we ended up doing six, technically. And we had really high-quality actors. We had people that were very experienced. All of us were capable of playing a role or being the stage manager or doing costumes. So we took turns, and we based it on who was doing what was based on the material. And we put together some really good shows. But then we realized we wanted to, again, to think about how we would make this sustainable and contribute to the economy, start bringing in more people. And we've had people who have worked on Broadway. We have people who you would recognize from television. And that's really fun for us. And it ups our game. And it's especially great for our audiences. And the folks that have joined us so far really love coming to Big Bear. They call it a working vacation because they'll be with us for 3 weeks. They have a lovely cabin. We have less rehearsal than what equity allows. So they're getting good benefits and not having to work extremely hard, at least least in some cases. That's not fair to say in all of the productions.
Oh, this would be so incredible. I'm comparing it to doing summer stock theater somewhere. Yes. And doing two shows a day for maybe 6 or 7 days a week. And where a person is like, man, I'm on the cabin on the lake with a little bit less... May the Lord smite me with it. I can handle this. Okay, exactly. It's a job. I have to do this. Fine.
Right. So it's summer stock without the aggressive schedule.
Wow.
Yeah. And for most people, although we have had people come from New York and we have a lot of people come from LA, but for a lot of people, it's not far travel.
Do you have a formula for picking shows, or at least trying to make sure that you always get maybe a classic, maybe some Shakespeare, a musical, lesser known stuff, then maybe a black box series for the Mammoth and the experimental stuff where you can, I don't know, use the F-bomb.
You are a theater geek, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, it's coming out now.
I love it.
You're soaking in it now.
I am. Oh my gosh, how many people remember that reference? I don't know. We'll
Thank
see.
You. Namer.
Madge, right?
Yeah, you okay. got it. You got it. Thank you.
It's been a while. Yeah. So we have an artistic director. Her name is Christine Drew Benjamin, and she is a playwright herself. I do not have an encyclopedic knowledge of theater works. She does, and she peruses scripts for us all year long. She puts together material for us thematically. She's the heart and soul of each of our seasons. And then I do want to mention that we have a wonderful partnership with Visit Big Bear, which is our destination marketing organization. And their new CEO, whose name is Travis Scott, had come with a vision to grow arts and culture in Big Bear. So when we met him, we were so happy to have a leader in place that was thinking in terms as we are. And he wants to continue to cultivate arts and culture in Big Bear because, as he says, this is his words, we are unique, we are talented, and we want everyone, community, and visitors to know about it.
Oh,
simple as that.
Oh, yes. That is so great.
So they help us tremendously with the marketing, obviously, and things like that. But to more directly answer your question, it's our fabulous artistic director that guides us along, and then we execute her vision as best we can.
That's beautiful. Some cities, some towns, whatever, get a person coming in and their vision is to maybe this is where the next stadium for the whatever team is going to be now here instead, but to have somebody who's not just in favor of, but actively trying to get more art of a variety of type around and available for people. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we're so grateful. Of course, Big Bear is famous for the ski resorts, as it should be. They are world-class ski resorts that are so accessible to Orange County, Los Angeles, where I skied growing up. We also are famous for recreation on the lake. The lake looks like a sapphire to me. If people haven't been to Big Bear, I know I sound like a commercial. I hope that's okay. But it's a phenomenal place. And artists are attracted there. So not just the athletes and the outdoors folks, and not that that's mutually exclusive. We can have athletic artists. Yeah. But artists are drawn because it is so serene. There is something about the quality of air and light at altitude, and Vail and Aspen, they have these attributes as well, but they aren't a 2-hour drive from LA. So we find that it's this combination of nature and art and the ability to go hike one of the tallest mountains in Southern California, in California for that matter, San Gorgonio. You can do all of that, and we want people to come and do all of that.
You did sound like a commercial.
Now you're soaking in it.
That's a good thing, too. I was picturing, I won't name them, but a famous actress and her late husband purchased property across the lake, Fawnskin.
Oh, yeah.
And
can I mention her?
Well, yeah, sure, if you want to go for it.
Shirley
yeah.
Jones?
Yeah, yeah, and her husband, Marty. It was wonderful because Shirley wanted this wonderful little peaceful spot with just the trees and the moss and overlooking the water and all this. And if she hears this, it's funny. This is straight from her mouth. But then Marty, on the other hand, he's the reason that there's these life-size statues of cowboys and Native Americans and astronauts and Americana. So this mix of stuff, but it works somehow, is really wonderful.
Yes. Shirley Jones is one of my idols. And again, a story of my mother. She My mother saw me watching The Partridge Family. She
oh, yeah.
just glanced at it and she said, oh my gosh, that's Shirley Jones. And I said, is she something? You know, I'm 10. And that night, my mother woke me up at 2 a.m. to see some television station that was airing Carousel.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
And she
okay.
said, here, this is Shirley Jones. So yeah. imagine when I got the chance to meet her. She used to come to our shows. And when I played her roles, Lori, et cetera.
Oh my gosh.
She would come up and sing next to me. And we went to the movies together a couple of times and
That's
went
sweet.
Out on a boat. Yeah, we adore her.
That is really, yeah. really cool.
She's amazing.
I was just quietly trying to predict Carousel or Oklahoma or my favorite is really, it's not a musical, but the Cheyenne Social Club with her and Jimmy Stewart and Henry Fonda. And anyways. So.
Yes, and Elmer Gantry,
That's
where
right.
she won her Oscar, which was incredible.
Wow.
I was in the chorus of Carousel, but I played Marion the Librarian and I played Laurie. So those were the two that, you know, I got to have coffee with her and talk to her about how she developed those roles and what it was like to work with Robert Preston and the Hyder pregnancy during filming that. And just great, great stories.
Oh, this is so wonderful. I'm so glad we're talking about this. This
Me
is
too.
Overlapping into many things, including Madge and Palm Mall of dishwashing liquid.
So. Did not plan on that.
It's just something I use an expression, and somebody, if they're close to my age, they get it, and if not, you know, whatever, and it's gone, and I've moved on. But
yeah.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Beth Wheat, managing director with the Big Bear Theater Project, with A Christmas Carol closing their 2025 season. Though they're using a much longer title. More accurate, though. More at bigbeartheaterproject.org. And I have to admit, I've lived in the region for just over 20 years, Beth, and didn't know about this theater.
You know, this would be a great season for you to come up and see our ghost story of Christmas.
Yeah, well, okay, so
the roads are clear, by the way.
Yeah, oh, good point. Yeah, otherwise pack chains.
Yes.
So let's move on to that, the final show of the season. Now, I've known of A Christmas Carol for as long as I can remember, beyond being a reader or growing up doing theater or whatever, and I enjoy Dickens in general.
Yes.
But until I was getting ready for this, Beth, I don't think that I ever knew the title, Being a Ghost Story of Christmas.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, gosh. And I had to look it up. I was like, what is this? They're doing an adaptation of this. And I was like, yeah, it's an adaptation of something I hadn't heard of. A Ghost Story of Christmas, that's really sort of a subtitle of A Christmas Story.
Yes. So I have one of the early editions, original copy of Charles Dickens' Christmas Stories. Mm. And its title is A Ghost Story of Christmas Being a Christmas Carol in Prose.
That's it.
So he was saying, this is a ghost story. It is like a Christmas carol, a song, except in prose.
Oh.
Yeah. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, we're going to have to call. I know nobody knows what that means, but they're learning.
Well, time for a close reading on the title alone. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Wow. And we do have parenthetical A Christmas Carol on a lot of our materials, so people know. But I love the piece. It works really well. This is our third year to produce it, and we've worked with a different actor every year. And every time it's different because of that. And then we always add different embellishments. So the idea is that you can come see it once and then come see it the next year. And the only thing that will be the same is that you're going to have that great holiday spirit when you leave. And you're going to remind yourself of what it means to be truly a good person. And that's what we love about the story.
Okay, there's a fine line between teasing towards something happening and a full-on spoiler alert. Okay, so
we'll walk it.
That said, okay, if you were at the Tudor House in Arrowhead, you could get real ghosts, but you're in Big Bear. So I read that Mark Daniel Cade, is he doing all of the roles?
Yes.
Is this sort of a storytelling stage reading? Talk to us about this particular production.
I would say yes to all of your questions, in a way. We do have what I call a vocal orchestra, and that is four of us who basically provide organic sound effects. So we have a Foley table on the side, we underscore with vocals here and there. We do use some synthetic sound effects as well. Mm-hmm. The other character in this show, the lights. So between lights and sound, we create a black box, just as you said. We set up a black box theater on that giant stage that I mentioned. And so it's very minimal in terms of anything other than your sensory perceptions around light and sound, and a phenomenal epic performance by a fine actor. And we've had very fine actors do this for us all 3 years. And everyone brings something different. And Mark is extraordinary. He's a musical theater person. He sings and dances and plays the stand-up bass. He's so multi-talented. And so, of course, we will be using that. I don't like to say using. We are sharing that with the world, with Mark, being on board with that. And
we're
so much fun. Thank you. That's what I was. No, we're not. I promise. And he's just so lovely. And he's phenomenal in the role. So, yes, he plays all the roles. And you all might be thinking, well, how does that work? But that's the part, you just have to see it to believe it.
Okay. I'm imagining, just really like any good storyteller, he will at one moment be a Scrooge going into that, and he's, what, how now? And then all of a sudden, I am the ghost of Jacob Marley. So it's this kind of switching characters, like children's storytelling almost.
Well, maybe you'll be our Scrooge next year.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that is wonderful. It. But it's not just a matter of shifting voice. You have to create physicality for that. And it's a monster. There are no sets. There are no scene changes. And every actor knows when you see what's on set, there's a dinner table there and it's got food on it. Okay, now I know what scene I'm in.
Yeah, Tiny Tim, okay.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But this, the actor has to build everything in their imagination.
Oh, wow.
And it's a magnificent feat to watch.
God bless us, each and every one.
Yes, and especially our fabulous Scrooges.
You mentioned the Foley table. Mm-hmm. I've seen some productions where, okay, a person can look at this easily two different ways. One, you can actually see the Foley table, and that is almost as much a part of the performance where you see this person. I mean, if we're going to go Monty Python for a second, you know, it's instead of the horses, we've got the coconuts, you know.
Yes.
Or the whatever, jangling of the keys really comes from who knows what, shaking a tic-tac, you know, whatever.
Yes.
But on the other hand, it could also really distract from Mark, who we've been using so far.
Yeah.
But is it off in the wings?
No, we are visible. The Foley table has a little stand on it, in part to block the noise so that we don't overpower anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're there, but with lighting, I don't believe it detracts. We've not heard that feedback. It looks good to me, and it's very much a part of the storytelling and another really fun element.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But that's a good question. We did a production of a beautiful play called Tesla by Dan Dooling about the life of Nikola Tesla.
Oh.
And that had a Foley table and a Foley artist who was a part of the show because it was told as a radio play. And so that was very much where that Foley artist did command some attention at the right times in the play. But this, we are intended to be a bit more background. And what I think happens is when we first get started with the sound effects, people will turn their heads, but then they go right back to the actor. And after a while, they don't really pay attention to us, which is absolutely fine.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there'll be people like myself who are watching just the, they'll miss every wonderful thing that Mark is doing because they're fascinated by the, but then again, there's people like myself, and then there's also real audience members. Okay.
Well, we've seen both, but I will say, if you were to do that, that is wonderful. But then I'd suggest you see it twice and focus on Mark because he's extraordinary.
The show's so nice, you saw it twice. Okay,
exactly.
Excellent.
Oh my gosh, you just have all the slogans going.
Oh, yeah, I'm full of it. Yeah, yeah. So, A Ghost Story of Christmas. Okay, so the proper title, Being a Ghost Story of Christmas, A Ghost Story of Christmas, what is it?
It goes like this. A ghost.
Oh, no. Okay, here it is again.
A Ghost Story of Christmas, Being a Christmas Carol in Prose. It's a sentence. It's a title that's a sentence.
Oh, gosh. It's the title that should have gotten him sentenced. Okay.
But it's so Dickensian because who is more verbose?
Oh, yeah.
And yet, it's beautiful. I love his language.
It's one of the things that I love the most about him is the descriptive names. You know, I don't know, Henry Darkswamp or whatever, you know that you don't know anything about him, but he's probably going to be a bad guy because he has a name like Darkswamp.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, so this play that you just mentioned, but this sentence that you just stated, this wraps the season. It's going to be closing December 26th and 27th at
yes.
Big Bear Lake Performing Arts Center. As far as for tickets for this final performance of the 2025 season, and just really to stay on top of anything else, what's the best website or place that folks can go for this?
For tickets, you can go to www.bbtp, standing for Big Bear Theater Project, .booktix.com. So bbtp.booktix.com for tickets. And then we have a website, which is bigbeartheaterproject.org. But remember that theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E, not
Thank you.
E-R.
Thank you. Yes.
There is a difference. Yeah. I mean, it was intentional. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, you have a mistake on your website.
Oh, but no. Some people are just wrong.
we try to broach that a little more gently, but yes, they are. So that's our website, and there you can find the history of all of the things that we've produced since 2011, it is, actually. And then, you know, there was a little gap you'll see during COVID, but mm-hmm. we've been continually producing, so you can see what we've done, and you can see what's coming as soon as we have all the contracts signed and such. And then there's a lot about our mission and vision and our background. There is the process for submitting plays if you want to do that. And when time comes for our open call auditions, we will be posting them there as well.
Is there a social media presence for the theater, or at least for the dominant geeks?
There is for all of you dominant geeks and even the submissive ones. We're on Facebook and Instagram. On Instagram, we are Theater Big Bear. And on Facebook, the same, Theater Big Bear. You can just search for Big Bear Theater Project on Facebook and you'll find us there. And of course, we have info@bigbeartheaterproject.org as our email address. You can also reach out to us via the website, sign up for our mailing list, donations. You can always make donations. Those are good.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I will definitely make sure to get you in again when things are finalized, when you have your I's crossed and your T's dotted and all that kind of thing for the 2026 season. I definitely want to have you back in to talk about that and what's coming up and all that. But in the meantime, Beth, this was fantastic. I really appreciate your time on this. I just always appreciate being able to get word out about other performances and artistic opportunities for people in the region.
It is so appreciated. So we thank you so much, and I would absolutely love to come back when I have more details to share. I'm very excited about 2026.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks not only to Beth Wheat, but also with Visit Big Bear, thanks to CEO Travis Scott. Thanks also to Dan McKernan for reaching out and making the arrangements. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Adam Rainey Ruiz, Diego Munoz, and Sharina Wad. Many past shows can be found through iTunes, Spotify, NPR One, or many other podcast sites. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts. Behind us now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Please, if you're not yet a listening, contributing member of this station, take just a few minutes of your time and change that with a gift of support. Give any time, day or night, at kvcrnews.org/support. And again, thank you so much.